This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. The most notorious spy caper in American history happened in the FBI. Robert Hansen was a mole for the Soviet Union and Russia for 22 years. Hansen's work earned him more than $1 million in cash and jewels and a cell at a supermax prison in Florence, Colorado. His deception is considered to be possibly the worst intelligence disaster in U.S. history. Dramatic stuff, to be sure. So dramatic, in fact, that a local writer has written a play about it, now on stage at Common Ground Theater in Durham. It's called Creeds, and joining us now is director Paul Palyanko. Paul, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you for having us.
Also joining us, three performers from Creeds, we have Jeff Alguire. He plays Robert Hansen after his arrest. Jessica Hieronymus is the younger version of his wife, Bonnie Hansen, and Christine Rogers plays Bonnie's mother. Welcome to all of you. Good to have you here.
Thanks so much. Good to be here.
So, Paul, for those of us who don't know the story, maybe you can tell us more about Robert Hansen.
Yes, Robert Hansen was a very complex character. He joined the FBI back in the early 70s, and he began spying in 1979 and continued to spy for 22 years until his arrest in February of 2001.
Interesting guy, because early in his life, he had fantasies of catching Soviet spies. It was all he wanted to do.
Indeed. He was fascinated lifelong, had a lifelong fascination with espionage and all the trappings. His big hero was James Bond. So, he really, I think, was wanted to be a player in that arena. And along with the financial rewards that came with selling secrets to the Russians, it was, I think, something that intrigued him, and particularly because he considered himself to be intellectually superior to everybody else, and he really thought he could honestly get away with this.
And he was in catching spies. He was in counterintelligence in the FBI, so he was a player.
He was. He was indeed.
So tell us about this play. What story gets told in the play?
Well, the interesting thing about this story is that Richard Krawick, who authored the script, was researching an article several years ago about, and he stumbled upon an article about Hansen. And what fascinated him and intrigued him about that story was his wife, Bonnie, because Bonnie was never really pursued in terms of what responsibility or culpability she may have had. So Richard decided to pursue that angle in this story and to find out, see what, you know, after 22 years, how could she not know what was going on? They had six children that they put through a private Catholic school, had nice cars, nice big homes, all on an FBI agent's salary.
Apart from that, was there any other reason to suspect that she knew or was involved?
Well, she had uncovered one of his earliest transgressions, that he had sold secrets to the Russians for $30,000, and he swore and promised to her that he would never do it again. But he did.
Well, maybe we could get a scene right now, Paul, and you could set this up for us.
Okay. I think what we're going to do is we're going to have a scene performed by Jeff that is Bob in prison.
So this is the old – and we should, I guess we're going to point out that there are two sets of actors in this.
There are. And what's interesting about this is that we have what I consider sort of actors in parallel planes of existence. We have the – what I would consider the current Bob and Bonnie, Bob arrested and imprisoned in a supermax facility in Colorado, and his wife Bonnie, and then the younger Bob and Bonnie as they are going through this development and ultimately heading down this path of destruction.
All right. And what are we going to hear right now?
This is a monologue about heroes. Oh, I'm sorry. No, this is Jeff, why don't you set it up for us?
All right.
We were toying with one or the other.
Yeah.
So what'd you
come up with?
This is essentially from the point of view of Robert Hansen in prison, sort of reflecting on why he's done what he's done. No, nothing like betrayal. You know, Daddy, you know, Daddy, betrayal, it's close to friendship. Now, betrayal is friendship. You can only betray those you love. So maybe that's what I'm addicted to, not porn, but betrayal. Isn't every single sin a betrayal of God? And if you keep betraying God, don't you become God, because you're setting up your own rules. Moses brought down the rules, the Ten Commandments of God, the Ten Commandments of Bob. Number one, thou shalt betray. Oh, sweet Judas, there is no thrill like betraying those closest to you. Isn't that right, Daddy? Suck it up, you pansy, you miserable embarrassment of a human being, your mama's boy. Stop complaining. You love to betray Mom and me. Mom and me. Mom and me. What are you, the same pathetic person? You might as well be the same, both a couple of losers. You both deserved everything you got. You know what I figured out? Betrayal is the evil that protects me from the worst evil. God, he was the great betrayer. He took everything from Job. He nailed his son to the cross. He betrays every one of us to the devil by making these temptations exist. I mean, I didn't put these ideas in my head. God made man in his image, and man can have no higher calling than to be like God, the great betrayer, and I am the greatest betrayer. Where is the spy who could match my work? I am a phenomenon.
Jeff Elguire performing a scene from the play Creeds, showing today through April 1st at Common Ground Theater in Durham. Jeff, how difficult is it, or is it difficult, to play a character who has a history in the newspapers? We know about Robert Hansen.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, we can take some artistic license, and I didn't concern myself with trying to find out every little thing about Robert Hansen and to try to imitate him in any way whatsoever. I allowed myself to just research his motives, the things he did, and just take that information and sort of store it away and come up with my own interpretation of what he might be going through in solitary confinement.
And Paul Podyanko, part of the tension in this play is this conflict between a particularly conservative religious worldview and his love of pornography. I mean, all of these conflicts racing through a guy who's proud of himself as being a great spy and also a little embarrassed or ashamed at having betrayed his country.
That's true. I mean, he really was truly a Jekyll and Hyde type of character. And I think Jeff made a good distinction that, you know, even though we are portraying real people, the story is inspired by that, but it's not based on that. It's not a documentary. And for me, what's more interesting is having these two Bobs and these two Bonnies and to see their trajectory starting at different points and ultimately intersecting at different points in the play, and to at least be able to see some resonance between the two different actors portraying the same character. That's been a fascinating challenge for me as a director, and I think for the actors as well.
Yeah, I would think then the pacing becomes almost an important part for you. If you've mm-hmm. got two, if you're working at two ends mm-hmm. and trying to bring them together, pace and cadence become a pretty important element.
Indeed, indeed. One of the things, very first things we did at the first read-through was we read the entire script, and then I had the two Bobs and two Bonnies swap roles. So they were reading themselves from the other perspective. And I think that was certainly instructive and revelatory for all of us to see it and hear it read that way.
Can we hear another scene?
Absolutely. This scene is a scene between the younger Bonnie and her mother. And Bonnie was one of eight children raised in a devoutly and conservatively Catholic household.
You could come by when he's home, you know. He'd love to see you. He always felt honored to be a part of our family.
How many times do we have to go over this? You know how I felt from the start, even before your brother started to look into his dealings.
Mother.
Mother what? You're lucky I'm here at all. Your father wouldn't be caught dead here, not after your last birthday party. All the children around, and his father hands you a gift of lace underwear.
I threw them away.
What kind of a man hands his son's wife lace underwear?
I threw them away.
After he left, you should have never taken them in the first place.
I threw them in the rubbish. That's
after
all that matters.
After I spoke with you. Is this how we raised you? To be the kind of person who will casually besmirch her soul, who will lie to cover up sordid behavior? You probably don't even go to confession anymore.
You know that's not true. I haven't missed once since my first communion. You know that.
Don't tell me what I know. And don't use that tone of voice with me, young lady. Well?
Well, what?
If you don't even know to apologize. When you go, do you tell the father everything?
I am not a liar, Mother. I am still the same girl you raised. I go to Mass, I teach religion at the school, I follow the catechism without complaint. Isn't that enough?
I shudder to think of 6 more of him in the world.
Mother, please. Those are my children, too. Your grandchildren? Don't you care? We moved back to Virginia so I could be closer to you. I missed you. When I told Bob I couldn't live in New York any longer, I had to come home, he made it happen. It cost us a lot of money to move back here.
Do you know where that money comes from?
We both work.
Well, it's obvious you don't teach math. Because if you add your teacher's salary to his FBI salary, your husband's not the only brilliant agent in the FBI. Your brother's pretty sharp, too, and you know what he thinks.
He has no proof, and he never, ever liked Bob. He always made fun of him.
You don't need proof when you have certainty. Do you have proof of God? No. You have faith. There are some things you know to be true, and this is one of them. Why do I bother? You're so stubborn on all of this. You act like we're not your family. We're only trying to help, but he has you so twisted you don't even want to hear the truth.
Mother, stop it, please. This is my home. Bob's home. You come in here, make these innuendos. Bob is my family. 2 shall cling as one.
Don't you dare quote the Bible at me. Who do you think you are? There's God's cross and there's Satan's cross, and I can see which one you have chosen.
That was Jessica Hieronymus playing Bonnie Hansen, Christine Rogers playing her mother. They are appearing in the play Creeds, showing at Common Ground Theater in Durham now through April 1st. Jessica, as the pre-prison Bonnie and wife in this, do you have to have in mind whether or not you knew something more? Do you have to know what she was thinking?
I do have to kind of understand, at least, you know, I try to understand what she might have been thinking through that. And I think that she was such a devout Catholic that she thought that Bob was too. I mean, he converted to Catholicism and became a member of Opus Dei with her. And so I think that she thought truly that she confronted him at one point, you know, and she really thought that he was being honest with her. And I think that she was kind of in denial from that point forward. I think that even if she had an inkling that he was doing anything beyond that point, she just stamped it down. She did not listen to her gut reaction. You know, she just ignored that.
I'm always curious about how you would do that as an actor. Kind of know how it turns out, know the truth of the whole thing, but have to convey the conflict of someone who's actually trying to repress the truth in themselves.
It's difficult, but I think we've all done that at some point. So, I mean, you just have to touch that within yourself, you know, find that within yourself. Everybody's experienced some time where you've ignored that gut reaction. We as human beings always do that at some point. And so you just have to find that.
Christine, and I could ask this of all of you, but Christine, I'd like to ask you, there was a movie out a while back. It was called Breach, about Robert Hansen. Did you happen to see that?
I did not. And for my particular character, she's fabricated. She's based, obviously, the player Richard knows women like this. I think I'd like to describe her as she's wrapped a little tight, but obviously she has some very strong feelings about Bonnie and what Bonnie should be doing, because later on in this scene, Bonnie asks, well, you know, what do you want from me? And Mother says, I want you to do what is right. And I think that's really her motivation in this particular scene. And Laurie Mall, another wonderful actress, actually, who's in the play, who performed on Broadway with Carol Channing and Tyler Dane, she has this wonderful – we have this wonderful dialogue going. But really, I think at the crux of it is trying to get her daughter to do what is right. She feels like, I raised you properly, and you know – Mom's not – she's not buying that Bonnie doesn't know what's going on. Let's put it that way.
So, Paul, as we said, this is not a history. This is not a play about Robert Hansen or about the affair. It certainly is rooted to some degree in the facts of that. What are we to take away? What do you think are the key sort of dramatic elements in this?
Well, one of the things that fascinated me about the script was the idea that the messages that we receive from our parents when we are children can have a long-lasting and damaging impact on us psychologically and emotionally. And I think Bob was notably abused by his father throughout his childhood. And while he regarded his father as a hero, he was a Chicago cop, he also had this love-hate relationship with him. And so in these split persona monologues that Jeff delivers, we see his struggle with his desire to be seen as a hero like his father. And I think that's, you know, he suffered from low self-esteem, and yet he also had this complex of grandiosity. So I think, and also in the way, in the scene that we've just heard between the mother and Bonnie, even though the mother's a fabrication, I think we can understand that the way the mother very assertively manipulated Bonnie, and then there's a reporter who very passively, aggressively manipulates her, and Bonnie just wants to be able to be very compliant and to follow the rules and be a good, devout Catholic girl.
Well, in all the ways we can do that, we can appear to be compliant and yet be in conflict and yet repress, or mm-hmm. we can take in the message of the Bible and then turn it on its head in order to play out our own needs that mm-hmm. have been repressed. Kind of a wonderful body of ideas reflected in this particular story.
Yes. And I would like to just take the opportunity to acknowledge the other actors that are in the show. We've got Ryan LeDoux is playing the other Bob. Lori Mall is playing the older Bonnie. We've got LaDonna Akins, Reed Dalton, Philip Semenchuk, and Joanna Harith.
I want to thank all of you for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Paul Polyanko is the director of Creed's. Jeff Alguire plays Robert Hansen after his arrest. Jessica Hieronymus plays the young Bonnie Hansen, and Christine Rogers plays her mother. Creed's on stage through April 1st at Common Ground Theater in Durham. For more information, go to cgtheater.com. You spell theater the R-E way. And that is the state of things for today. Thanks for listening to our program. This is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.